This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:08 in the evening. You're listening to Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. And, you know, we've been talking quite a bit about jobs today. And while graduate unemployment is a problem that we're facing across the board, one that we've spoken about before, this evening we're taking a specific look at the challenges that one particular group has to face, which are the graduates from the Orang Asli communities.
Orang Asli graduates grapple with unique concerns to overcome when seeking a job, which we'll come to in just a bit. So just last week, we got to attend a program that set out to tackle this issue where aspects of job hunting, like building a good CV or networking skills, were discussed. The program was held by the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, and we got to speak with several participants about their experience so far.
And a few of those who we spoke to talked about how they initially lacked the relevant job hunting skills. And here is Sonam, who majors in international business.
At first, I don't know how to apply jobs. That was my first obstacle. And after that, the second one is what positions that I want to apply. I didn't know what were the suitable positions. And I did some research. I searched on Google and then I find some tips. So I used that tips to apply for my job. I met my friends when he was at university, and she's now jobless. So she asked me if there any opportunity for her to join me. So I said, you have to prepare yourself to get a job, which is you have to apply a job and get a what we call a excellent CV. But she said that she has a low self-confidence. So I just tell her, just go and apply.
And this issue of self-confidence was something that other participants talked about as well. For instance, Jahira, a chemical engineering graduate, and Afi, who is a graduate in performing arts, who grew up in the city but had heard similar stories from his peers.
One of the biggest reasons for me is because I'm lack of confidence, so I cannot deliver well when in interview.
They don't know how to expose themselves, and some of them don't even finish the school at the young age.
And that's another key issue that came up, where two other graduates told us about the very low number of Orang Asli students back in their universities. Here is Islan, a medical assistant graduate, and Jack, who studied to become a history teacher.
I'm studying at the Johor Bahru, and my village is Kelantan. It's very quite far journey and distance. There's no Orang Asli person, people there. There's no one. Only me. That I think is quite difficult for me. But keep fighting and keep doing the good thing.
Macam yang masuk universiti pun, kalau orang asli Kelantan, kadang-kadang ada seorang, kadang-kadang dua orang satu tahun tu. Padahal batch tu ramai. Macam batch I, ramai. Tapi I seorang je masuk universiti at my school. So sad lah.
And here's Sonam and Jack again talking about how they overcame shyness as their barrier.
Okay, I use my own experience when I was in university. Yes, for the first year of my study, I also have a low self-confidence. So after that, I try to bridge my fear and I try to I learn many things. Even that things is new for me, so I try to learn.
Kita orang asli kat Kelantan, very, very hard to. Susah sangat nak berkomunikasi dengan orang yang bergaul dengan ini. We are with my culture. I mean, orang asli. Dia orang fikir macam, tu Melayu, so kita tak boleh gabung. And then kita orang asli je. And then, tak boleh lah macam tu sebab ada certain people, ada student-student kan, orang pandai. So, kalau kita bergaul dengan India, China, Melayu, so we can teach from them, right? Tanya how macam mana belajar kan. So kalau kita orang berkumpul dengan orang asli je, so susah lah.
You just heard from several participants at a recent program for Orang Asli graduates aimed at helping them gain employment. After this, we're going to be speaking with a lecturer behind the program on this issue, but we want to hear from you. Do you have any thoughts on boosting employability when it comes to graduates, particularly Orang Asli graduates, which is the group that we're looking at tonight? We've talked about self-confidence. We've talked about issues of cultural difference. Any suggestions are welcome. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:14 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and we're talking about employability for graduates tonight, particularly through an Orang Asli lens. And earlier we heard from several Orang Asli graduates about their thoughts and experiences in looking for employment. We actually spoke to them recently at a program for Orang Asli Employment, which was held by the University of Nottingham, Malaysia.
Now we have on the line Dr. Surya Selassie Angit, Associate Professor at the School of Arts and Social Sciences at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. She's one of the people behind the program. Dr. Surya, thank you so much for joining us. What are the prospects for Orang Asli graduates in finding employment?
All right. This is based on my experience working with Orang Asli graduates, and especially based on my contact with them during the program that we had last week. I think, first of all, we need to realize that in terms of numbers, in terms of statistics, we don't have too many Orang Asli graduates available. So those that we have now, they actually, I must say that they do have the right qualifications, and many of them are actually talented. But just like any other fresh graduate, I think they lack work experience, the actual work experience. And but I think if they are given more opportunities to showcase their talents, and I think that will actually help them in finding employment. I think one of the main issues that we recognize during the program and before that, when we talk to our graduates, is that they lack the professional skills that they need for employment, and also they lack the self-confidence to present themselves. When I spend time with them, I noticed that they themselves didn't realize the potential that they had. So I think that if we could actually help them realizing the potential that they have and the talent that they have, I think they will have better prospect for the employment.
And as we heard earlier, the shyness that you mentioned just now, it's quite a pretty common experience among graduates who are Orang Asli. And they talked about having to overcome the social barriers when interacting with their peers. How do you think that can be addressed?
I think shyness is one of the major struggles for Orang Asli communities in general, not just the graduates, but for community members in general, especially students. When I went to school, the same struggle is also a big issue in schools as well, because I think we are aware that many Orang Asli students are being marginalized, and we have this social stigma the stigma of being Indigenous itself. So we are usually associated as backward people, backward communities. So that has actually affected our students and their self-confidence in school. So to integrate and to actually compete with the mainstream students, it is actually a challenge for them, because they have been they have internalized that in them as well. So I think it's very important that we raise the awareness in terms of schooling, in education, like for teachers to have more positive outlook and use more positive words. But I've met many wonderful teachers who have been doing this, who have been very positive, instead of picturing the Orang Asli communities in a negative picture. But then teachers have started to be more positive, and also the mainstream society in general should also be more supportive.
And, you know, Dr. Surya, you mentioned that you've actually experienced something pretty similar yourself as, you know, a former student who's also an Orang Asli. How did you overcome that barrier?
Well, I must say it was a struggle, and it was not easy. It was one of the biggest challenges that I faced during my school years. But for me, the biggest support that I get was from my family, who really wanted me to go further, who really wanted me to get education. But I must tell you that it wasn't easy, because you had to go through a system that did not give much importance to your indigenous identity. And most of the time you have to, I mean, in my case, I had to actually leave my indigenous identity or actually identity aside and be more like the mainstream society, mainstream students to actually survive the schooling experience, which we don't want that to happen to our young Orang Asli now, because they should be able to celebrate their indigenous identity, to be Orang Asli, and while at the same time going through, I mean, experiencing school and enjoy schooling.
Right, but if, you know, students carry that feeling of shyness till after graduation, then it complicates the job finding process, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think when you talk about you know, getting hired or looking for employment, in terms of fresh graduate experience, I think the experience is quite similar to other graduates as well, the non-Orang Asli graduates. It's just that what makes it even more challenging for the Orang Asli is because they don't have the social or the cultural capital that other graduates might have, in order for them to actually shine better during interviews or even in a professional environment, because they've got the shyness, they've got low self-confidence, so they don't have the same social capital or cultural capital to actually present themselves better. It's not that they're not able to do it. It's just that they feel like they have lack of self-confidence, and they don't have the right exposure to the skills that they need in that kind of environment.
So you said that Orang Asli graduates often don't have the same social capital as other graduates. Can you tell us a bit more about what you mean by that?
What I mean is our Orang Asli graduates come from Orang Asli communities where our values are different from the mainstream society, the mainstream communities. And most of the time when you mention the Orang Asli to the mainstream society, they have like negative terms, negative images in their mind. We are usually being labeled as backward people, lazy people, and those kind of negativities affect our students at school negatively too. Over the years, this will affect their self-confidence. So they don't have the same self-confidence that other students have. So when they move up from their communities, from the environments that they are familiar with, where they feel safe, and when they move to a professional environment where the values and the practices might be different, then they don't have the skills, or they don't know what to do and how to react to certain situations. Even though they do have, like, for every graduate, diploma holders or degree holders, they do have like the internship program, but the internship is very short. And most of the time, the internship period is not enough to actually help them overcome their fears in the mainstream society.
What was the outcome of the 3-day program last week?
Oh yeah. First of all, I must say that we are very happy with the outcome. We collected feedback from our participants, and to most of them, that was the first time they were actually being introduced or being exposed to all the skills like interview skills, CV writing, and one of the main, the biggest success that we must say here, based on the feedback that we got from our participants, that they know how to improve their CV now. And we also received good news, like for example, one participant has been offered a job in customer service, which is, I think, quite a good start for a fresh graduate like himself. I must say that may not be, his success in securing the job is not 100% because of our program, but to hear that after the program he went to the interview feeling more confident, that made us feel really happy that we could actually achieve that. So in general, I believe that we managed to achieve our main aim, which was to introduce or graduates to the skills that they need for employment and also to survive in a professional environment.
And how have industry players responded to these efforts?
Most feedback that I got, like, they are aware that we haven't had too many of these programs, and they are actually happy that we are doing this. And they've been very supportive, and I've got speakers who are willing to come again if we have a second series of this. But we are also hoping that we could get more collaboration. We hope that we can collaborate with more government agencies, probably the Department of Foreign Affairs. That would be great, because if we could collaborate with the Department of Foreign Affairs, we could actually rope in more participants. And we also need more industry players to come and share the experience and to give more exposure to our participants, especially about any internship programs or graduate programs that are available. Because based on our experience, based on the sessions that we had with our guest speakers, most graduates, our participants the other day, they were not aware of the opportunities that are actually waiting for them. So when our guest speakers came and talked about the graduate programs that certain corporations have, then this will actually open more doors for them. Yeah. And of course, it would be great if we get more collaborations, and because in terms of funding, we do need certain funding to fund this kind of program so that we could expand this to a bigger scale.
Dr. Surya, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Surya Selasih Angit, Associate Professor at the School of Arts and Social Sciences at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. And we've been talking about trying efforts to boost employability among Orang Asli graduates. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. We've received this message here from Solomon saying, I myself am from an indigenous group from Borneo, and I can totally relate to their views and fear. Sometimes being in the majority shifts the views of many Malaysians, and this is especially prevalent in West Malaysia. I'm sure the Orang Asli in West Malaysia get it tougher compared to the indigenous population in Borneo due to that stigma. Take, for example, the shyness and lack of confidence. From my experience, it doesn't matter what your educational background is or qualification. The reality is we are judged from the rest of Malaysia based on how we look and how we talk, for example. Even if you drive a nice car, the perception is you're still backwards, and that's the hard reality.
And it's something that starts from it's a perception that unfortunately begins at a very young age. You know, we hear a lot of stories that even Orang Asli kids, one of the reasons why it's hard for them in Sekolah Kebangsaan, especially in West Malaysia, is that they are made fun of. They have a perception that they are unfortunately, you know, seen as not nice to be around.
I also think that point about the majority is so important because you don't know, right? I mean, you might know mentally that you're a member of the majority, but you don't recognize always how it shapes your worldview. Because obviously, why would you? The world has shaped itself around you. And so I think it's so important and enlightening to really hear from people who have lived this, who understand it in a very real sense. Because otherwise, we're just going to continue happily sailing along, being a majority, and not noticing that in some cases, there are very real pockets of inequity. So thank you so much for sending that message through Solomon. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.